Hello and welcome to the Desi Outsiders podcast. This week, Ankita exposes the truly lowest point in her life, her relationships pre-Shane.
And Meenal tells us about the half date she had with a guy before her mother came in and ruined everything. So stay tuned to hear our four gems of wisdom regarding how to deal with a breakup. So let's jump right into the show.
So we hope you guys have been enjoying our new segment on the website called Dear Bob. And this is where Ankita and I change letters on a weekly basis just to catch up. It's mainly for Ankita because I feel like she needs to speak to me every day.
I do.
It's her therapy. Yeah. But now I've finished my exams for my fifth year now. So now that's all out of the way. And I'm back here to record every week with Ankita, and I'm super excited about it.
Speaking of exams, do you want to share the good news with everyone?
So guys, Ankita wanted me to officially announce that I'm a doctor.
I thought you were.
No, Ankita, not yet. I still have another year left. So we're still far from that, Ankita, but I think like it's a good stepping stone to finish my fifth year now.
Okay, and you're not doing a good job. Let me explain. Basically, on Tuesday, Meenal had an exam, which was the final exam from a long series of exams, which you might remember started in December. And that's it. It's gone. It's done. We're happy now.
You mean you're happy now?
I'm happy now. I can finally talk to you. Maybe we won't need Dear Barb after all.
No, we will. We still will. Because I still feel like there are some things that it would be funnier to type out.
Hmm.
And I think people need to see like all the crap that goes on in your head.
Yeah, so I'm finally starting to see a lot more of you. And it feels like, you know, ages since we sat down and got some work done together, you know, just Skype and work at the same time. And you know, every single time that we sat down to do it, something or the other kept coming up. Either I had to travel or you had an exam, but mostly it was your exams. Not that I blame you for it, but man,
I'm sorry.
I'm glad. I am so happy that you're done with your stupid exams.
But Ankita, I remember that when we interviewed Tina last week, that I still like put everything to the side and still...
Yeah,
because I feel it's my happy place, you know, it's something that I feel that really invigorates me and rejuvenizes my mental state of mind.
Yeah, but I don't get enough. You probably get your invigoration and your rejuvenation from just coming and recording an episode, but I don't get enough of you. And I'd rather have more time with you than not. So
to all our listeners, I actually suggested to Ankita to buy a teddy bear. And we can like put a microphone inside it and a recording of me going,
but yeah, that actually, you know, the build a teddy or build your teddy, build a bear?
Build a bear.
They
should do that for
like,
you.
Yeah, parents, like, you know, the soldiers who go to fight in Iran, they keep these with their kids.
But Ankita, that's what it feels like when I'm with you, like I've gone to fight a war and I have to come back and take care of you. So now that we're recording our podcast, let's get back to the real deal, Ankita. Mm-hmm. And do you want to tell everyone how we picked this specific topic that we're going to speak about today?
Yeah, last week, while I was collecting questions for a Q&A that I was doing on my blog, a reader sent me this question. She said, how do you deal with a breakup? Have you ever stalked your ex on social media? P.S. Can you please do a podcast episode on dealing with a breakup? And I found this very interesting for obvious reasons.
Well, yeah, because we're back at the narrative of me being a Desi outside with strict parents and back to you being in India with more liberal parents than mine. And it's a very good question because I feel we've both had different experiences in me in Europe with when I've seen breakups or when I've seen my friends go through
it. That's the key point here because you've only seen it. Guys, Meenal has never experienced a breakup in 24 years of her life. She's such a weirdo.
Ankita, I've been away from my table tennis bat for more than a week.
That's the thing. Whenever you talk about a breakup, you say, I've seen it happen. You've never experienced one. And that is so weird to me that you were raised in Europe.
No, that's true, Ankita. Everyone around me was in a relationship. Everyone. And
you never had a boyfriend.
I'm going to stop. I think your relationship with me is close to that now. It's the first thing. I didn't mean it that way, but you know. I understand why you think it's weird that I haven't been through a breakup. And I totally get it. And I get how everyone probably expected me as a girl being raised in Europe to have had these relationships.
Yeah.
Probably had more exposure and more liberal, more of a liberal life. But that's not the case. And
because don't you have prom? I want to ask you specifically about, like, did you have prom? Like, did you take someone to, did someone take you to prom?
We had prom. But our proms weren't like the American style where, like, someone says, oh, do you want to take me to the prom? It's not like that with us.
Oh.
For us, the prom was more of a celebration that we're done with school and we're going to university. That was more of a celebration. I feel like the prom in America is more to do with, like, take your date, go for a dance.
Mm.
It's not that kind of American lifestyle.
Mm.
But if you're talking about me in high school, I remember that when I was younger, obviously my parents were very strict. So in my head, it was like, if I ever do even speak to a guy or even get close to having a boyfriend, it has to be with an Indian guy.
Okay.
I never even thought, like, never in my life did I think I'd even think of speaking to a white guy or anyone else.
Oh, so the question we asked Tina last time, would your parents have been okay if you brought a non-Desi home? The same question kind of applies to you, and you knew already that it would probably not be okay.
I would never dare to, even to this day.
Right?
I wouldn't dare to do that. But I think that when I was in high school, I was so scared of doing anything like that, that automatically my head was like, well, Meenal, if you do want to speak to a guy, I would have made sure he's Indian, you know? Like, I already had these filters in my head.
Mm.
So there was this one guy, and I think we were both in because in Gibraltar our high schools are separated. There's only two schools because Gibraltar is basically like a village.
Oh, so it's like a girls' school and boys' school.
Yes, all girls' school and all boys' school. So obviously girls never had boy classmates and same vice versa. So if we did meet any guys, it would, for me at least, it was mainly in sports. But for other girls, it was obviously because they would go out more and socialize and they had that freedom. I didn't have that. Mm. So for me, it was mainly in sports. But there was this one Indian guy.
Mm.
And I liked him as a friend. Like, don't get me wrong. It was it was really just innocent and naive. And, like, I like this guy. He's a good friend. And then there was a day where he wanted to meet up, but not in any sort of way, like, oh, I want to meet up with you. Let's do something.
Mm-hmm.
It was a case of, like, yeah, we both have the same interests.
Mm-hmm.
Let's meet up.
Yeah.
So obviously I couldn't tell my mom that I was going to go see a guy.
Yeah.
So I told her that I was going to go to, obviously, like, the classic old, I'm going to go work on a school project.
Of course.
So I went to see this guy. We were just talking and my mom called me on my phone.
You had a phone?
Yeah, but it was like a crap Sony Ericsson, like, dumbo phone.
But I didn't have a phone in school, so please continue.
Yeah. So I remember when I left my house, my mom knew, like, she's not dumb.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, she's going to see a guy. She's going to do something fishy here.
Mm.
So she's like, Meenal, when you arrive, because I took the bus to see him.
Mm.
So she wasn't very comfortable with that. So she's like, when you get there, just call me.
Mm.
So when I got there, I forgot to call her, which is the worst thing I could ever possibly do.
Yeah.
So my phone rings and I pick it up and my mom was like screaming down the phone. And this boy is right next to me. I'm like, this is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
And obviously the rest of the time I couldn't enjoy myself because I was like shitting my pants. I'm like, how am I going to go home now?
Mm.
I'm going to get at least 5 slaps minimum.
Oh, slaps? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So after that whole like traumatic event in my like my head, I was too scared to do anything after that.
But actually our parents do this thing where they say, get there and call me, and if you forget they make it a traumatic thing. Like, both my mom and my dad have done
this. But you have this fear of like going back to see them again and confronting them.
Yeah, and even if you forget to call them, they call within some like a few minutes even before you get there, and they're like, why didn't you call me? Mm-hmm. And my mom used to tell me that my curfew was 6 p.m. because obviously in India you can't stay out after 6 p.m. And it's not even uncommon, like, if I say this to someone over here, they'd be like, are you kidding me? 6 p.m.? But back in India, and this was when I was in college, and if I went out and she said 6 p.m., she would call me at 5:30 to remind me that I should probably start packing up and leaving.
My curfew was, if I went out with my friends, it was midnight, 1 a.m.
Okay, yeah, see, no.
For me, that was too little, because then my other friends had curfews of like, some didn't even have a curfew. They just took their keys and just came home whenever they want.
Yeah, no, that...
Some other girls had a curfew of like 3 a.m., 4 a.m.
You know, when I went to Greece recently, I was with this girl that I made friends with, and she was around 20, 21 years old. And mm-hmm. she was out with us like all night. And I said, she lived with her mom. So I was like, wouldn't your mom be worried? Like, don't she have to call her or something? Like, how does this work? And she said, well, I'm an adult and I can do yeah. what I want. And I was just imagining what would have happened if I was living with my mom and I was 20 something and I had to go out and just meet random friends and people I hadn't even met in my life. And just come back home whenever, that really wouldn't work.
Well, to be fair, like my parents used to be like that. But now mm. they've seen that Mina lives a life in Prague.
Mm.
She comes home whenever she wants, so she can do the same. Like they trust mm. me with that now. So now, mm. before when I used to leave the house, I would have to tell my mom, like, I'm going here, I'm coming at this time, I'm yeah. going with this person. But now it's like, mom, I'm going. I'm not sure when I'll be back,
mm.
but I'll just call me if you need anything.
But there's probably the other thing of Gibraltar being such a small place and everyone almost pretty much knows everyone else and it's kind yeah, of safe.
It is safe, of course.
Yeah, in India, it's not that common for parents to just feel at ease letting their daughters just go wherever they want to go.
No, but I would be the same. I mean, especially like if I lived in a city like Delhi or anywhere else, I would feel very scared to let my daughter out.
Yeah, so in high school, you had this one date with this one person and your mom ruined it.
Yeah, my mom ruined it. My mom.
So, like, all your other friends probably had a bunch of boyfriends and girlfriends.
Oh, yeah, I saw it all, Ankita. I saw my brown Indian friends dating white boys and I saw it all. Like,
so what were you doing with all of those raging teenage hormones at that time?
I played a lot of sports, Ankita. That's what I did.
Of course, I didn't expect any other answer from you.
But Ankita, the thing was, I felt that, yeah, you're right. It's a good point you raise about your teenage hormones because you're going through so many different changes in your body, like physically as well, and you have to do something with it, right?
Mm.
And my friends, they had more liberty to express their feelings and actually do stuff.
Mm.
I didn't have that, and because I didn't have that, obviously I played a lot of sports, but at the same time, I let it out on my parents. Like, I didn't rebel or anything, but I used to answer back, like, back chat and do all of those things. So it wasn't, like, sports didn't clear everything, of course. I was still, like, human inside, you know? I still had my feelings that I had to let out.
Yeah, so I never had that, actually. That's quite funny.
Really? You never had that teenage
rebellion? I never had a teenage rebellion. I never had a rebellion with my parents. Like, I never snapped at them.
You know, my parents, there was a point where my parents were actually really just very, very concerned.
Yeah.
To the point that they were going to go see my school teachers and be like, what's wrong with Mino?
Oh, wow. But
I think a big part of me at that point, like in hindsight now, I think a big part of me was fed up because I couldn't do anything as a teenager. I couldn't go out with my friends. My friends were all like, you know, my friends were always organizing dinners and God knows what.
Mm.
And it got to a point they didn't invite me anymore because they were like, she's not going to come anyway.
That's sad.
Yeah, and it's really sad. And of course, as a teenager, you feel upset about stuff like that, right? You do want to do all these things. So I let out on my parents.
You know, but what I find funny is that compared to me, you had a lot more freedom. Compared to the things I had, you definitely had a better deal because I was in India. I was stuck, like, especially in my generation, no one really. And the city I grew up in, right? We still don't have a mall there. Like, Trivandrum is the capital of Kerala. And Trivandrum still does not have a mall. So there was nothing like, oh, let's just go with our friends and hang out at the mall. Nothing of that sort. So I literally did not have a social life growing up as a teenager.
Then again, Ankita, I feel like my parents only did that to me because it took them like 15 years to do that, to actually change their mentality. And because they saw other people around them, it sort of changed their mentality together.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that you probably had a better deal, but you still felt that you didn't have enough, but I didn't even realize that something was missing because I was in a setting where it was, no one else was doing it anyway.
Yeah, so I felt it more because I saw people around me do it and I definitely felt left out, right?
But still, it's kind of disappointing that you didn't have a boyfriend in high
school. I know, wouldn't it make such a great story for me to come in and be like, yeah, I had a white boyfriend and this is what happened?
Yeah. I mean, this whole breakup thing, this episode we're doing could have been so much more interesting if you had a traumatizing breakup with a white guy.
Only I knew at the age of 15 that we're going to do an episode, I would have done it just for this.
Yeah.
So Ankita, because I don't know so much, tell me about the breakups you've had.
Okay,
here we go.
Okay, let me just sit straight now.
Yeah, you just like roll your sleeves up. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so I have had only one proper breakup in my life, but I've kind of broken up with three guys in total.
Okay, how does that even work? Like, what is all this? You seem to like mathematically calculate.
No, I say that I've had only one breakup because only one of the three caused me pain and heartache, but, you know, because my heart is like a diamond, it's made out of stone, it's cold and it's hard, and I'm like a
But it's also really special.
It's really special, it sparkles. Yeah, but
are you watching too much Twilight, Angita?
Not watching, reading, because I don't like the movies, but I like the books. I'm not ashamed to say that. But in all seriousness, I'll just explain very quickly. My first breakup was with this guy that I had a crush on in eighth grade. Okay, like I was 12 or 13 years old, and that's when the raging hormones thing started. Mm-hmm. And I started dating him in the beginning of ninth grade, which is when he left school. So he went to another school, and it's only like when ninth grade started and he went to another school that I started dating him, and I had a crush on him throughout eighth grade. So literally when I started quote unquote dating him, which is so ridiculous, he was in another school, and till date, I've literally never seen him even once in my life since 2004.
Wait, so Angita, you were dating him and then he changed school. And so, since that day, you haven't seen him?
I started dating him after he changed school. So we both had a crush on each other, right? Like, we were friends, but we never dated while he was in the same school. But then he left, and before leaving, he asked me out, and I said yes. And I was like, okay, let's start dating, and he left school. And then I've never saw him again. No, but the thing is...
Oh my God, that's so... I'm sorry, Angela. Like, literally a minute ago, you were like, oh my God, Mil's such a loser.
I didn't even have a cell phone or access to the internet back then, so I'd only talk to him occasionally on my parents' landline. And by occasionally, I mean once in maybe 2 weeks.
Wow. It was a very special relationship, Angita.
It was a very special relationship. So, you know, don't even make me explain this. Anyway, one of his friends, who was still my classmate, he was the one who kind of acted like a messenger. So I don't really know what happened there.
Oh my God.
But this messenger guy, I think he went and told my boyfriend that I didn't want to be in a relationship with him anymore. And he came to me and said that, I remember this clearly, he told me that my boyfriend found a new girlfriend in his school, and I was like, okay, and I moved on, because it was just like,
you did it very passively, like you didn't care.
I didn't care, because I think by then, obviously, this is not a relationship. Like, I talked to this person once a month, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, what?
What's the point?
What was happening?
So I think we've established who the real loser is now.
I don't think I was such a loser.
But what happened to your next boyfriend, or the next two, or the next three? I don't know.
Yeah, there was just three in total, but I broke up only with one, actually. So this is the second story where the actual breakup did not happen.
Okay.
Okay, so this next boyfriend was not actually my boyfriend.
Oh, God. What was he then, Angita? Do you want to tell us? So Angita, is that one of those things where you have like a poster in your room of a celebrity? Did he know that you existed? That's important.
This person definitely knew that I existed.
So you had a boyfriend who wasn't actually your boyfriend. And
okay.
Man, okay, Angita, okay. I don't know what was more difficult, my surgery final 2 days ago or this conversation.
Okay, let me just explain it.
Okay, go.
This is when I was in the 11th grade, okay? And one of my seniors from the 12th grade, he just walked up to me and he told me that he loved me.
Oh my God. This is so Bollywood. This is when Bollywood
This relationship was pakka Bollywood. Like, it didn't exist. The relationship didn't exist. Okay, so he came up to me and he said he loved me. And this was someone that I knew personally. I actually considered him to be a good friend because we'd worked on like school activities together.
What kind of activities?
You know, like school assemblies and house programs and things like that. So we would just be on the same
and
house.
And he charmed you?
No, he really didn't. He was just like a friend. So I just knew him and he was friendly. But so one day he walked up to me and he said that he loved me. And obviously he didn't, because he barely knew me.
I bet you said I love you too.
No, I did not.
Okay.
No, but...
I know, because you have attachment issues. So
no. No, he barely knew me. I barely knew him. But, you know, both him and I grew up watching Bollywood. So there you go. The problem was that I felt nothing for him. And he was a great guy. He was sweet. He was easy to talk to. But I didn't like him that way. But he asked me out like 17 times, according to him. I never counted. He did. And he was actually quite proud of this number. And after sort of rejecting him 17 times, I said yes to him, because I was this teenage girl, right? And I had all these hormones and I was getting a lot of attention. So I thought, okay,
how old were you?
16.
Oh my God. Okay.
I said okay after he asked me out. But the day after I said yes was when his batch was leaving school on my study.
You just don't. You have very bad timing, Ankita.
I do. Like, his batch was just leaving for study leave, and I was actually quite relieved because that would mean that I wouldn't have to see him anymore.
Uh-huh.
And I know, and I feel really bad about this in hindsight. I should have just broken it off with him, but I know that he used to come and wait for me at the school, and he would try to see me. But because I would see him from a distance, I would actually hide and like avoid him completely and make it look like I never saw him in the first place.
So you were just with him because you felt sorry for him?
I don't know if it was because I felt sorry for him. I don't know. In the spur of the moment, I said yes to him after he asked me out like 17 times because, I don't know, maybe the attention was really good. Like, I enjoy the... I don't know. Like, my teenage self would have done a better job of defending my choices. But right now, I just want to go back and shake her and say, what the hell did you do?
Mm.
And I didn't even break it off with him. We didn't have a cell phone. I never spoke to him. And this is a classic case where I think I blocked out the memory because I don't remember how that ended. Like, this is all
I... Was that traumatizing?
Maybe. I don't remember how that ended. I don't remember breaking up with him. I don't remember sending him an email or a message or anything. Like, I literally didn't see him after that because I avoided him consciously. But I don't know what happened after that. Yeah.
So, Ankita, what about this third time? Was it more painful than the others? Or?
See, this is the only breakup I had, the third one.
Okay, so basically you've had one breakup in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you make it sound, at the beginning you made it sound like you had so many breakups, you have so much advice.
Yeah, because I wanted to sound cool, like I was like the cool kid in school who had like a boyfriend.
So you've only had one breakup.
I only have one breakup
okay,
in my
life. Okay,
so
what happened there, Ankita?
This third relationship is what I would consider to be an actual relationship because we were together for 3 years and we were actually miserable together like most married couples, so there you go. But yeah, that's totally not important here. The fact is that this was the first and only actual breakup I went through.
Okay, and what actually happened here?
So we were both in college. We actually started dating in school, I think, but we were in college for the majority of the relationship, and it was a long distance relationship because he was in another city studying another subject, and because we were always fighting like an old married couple, we were miserable together anyway. So one day I just gave into all the pressure from all sides and decided that I couldn't take the shit anymore, and I told him that I wanted to take a break for some time, right, just to cool it off and gain some perspective. I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't want to think about anything, like that's it. And this break, which was supposed to last only a few days or maybe even a week, it ended up taking a whole month. And I still didn't feel okay enough with myself or with him or with our relationship to just forget everything and move on.
Wait, Ankita, did you feel at the age of 17, you said? You were 17?
No. This break basically happened at the age of like 18, 19.
Yeah. So when you were 18, 19, did you have that sort of sense in your head to think, okay, as I want to have some time for myself? Or was it a case of I'm so fed up? What was the actual like reason behind it?
So here are some really stupid things and some examples that none of our young listeners should follow. Some mistakes I made. One is I thought that this was it. Like, this is the relationship. No matter how miserable we are, I'm going to marry this guy. Because that's what happens in Bollywood. And the other mistake I made was that I thought my entire identity revolved around this one person. So there was nothing I would do without telling him first, or that I don't know. Somehow it was like a huge obligation on both sides. I'm sure he felt the same way too. And that was the second mistake. Like, I did not have an identity outside of this relationship, which was really, really bad. And that is something that no young girl should do. And that's my advice to any young girl who's listening. Like,
but Ankita, I totally understand because at that age, you're so influenced.
Yeah.
You can be, you're so easy influenced by so many things. Yeah. I mean, when I was 17, I wasn't influenced by guys or anything. Nothing like that. But if I became friends with someone who believed in a specific thing, then I would start believing that specific thing. Because you're so easily influenced, right? Your brain hasn't completely matured yet.
Yeah.
So I don't blame you for doing that.
This is like the most important person to you. And this is the only person whose opinion of you matters at this age. And you think, okay, this is so important. And I remember he would tell me what to wear and he would tell me what to study and things. And I would actually listen to that. And my mom started noticing it, and she was like, why are you dressing like this? Like, this is not how you dress usually. And that's the thing about giving away your identity for someone else. And that's something that I would advise every girl to not do. Anyway, when we took this break, I somehow did not just go back to, you know, being my old self with him anymore. And he was actually quite understanding about it. And I'm sure he was getting the gist of it, right? Because he's the one who kept in touch for the most part. And the funny thing is that he was a very stubborn person with like a huge ego and everything. So whenever we fought, he wasn't usually the one to call and make up. I'm not saying that he never did it. I'm just saying that it was so not him to let go of his ego and actually try to resolve an issue. But surprisingly, when this happened, after a lot of days when he realized that I wasn't calling him or texting him, he started making the effort and he started making an actual effort. And I was not withdrawing from him because I wanted to take revenge on him or anything. I just genuinely felt disconnected from him. And in the end, I remember he called me one night and we had the longest conversation ever. And by that, I mean, it felt like the call was just not ending, you know? And when we finally said goodnight and cut the call, I saw that we'd spoken for exactly 58 seconds. I will never forget that.
Really?
Yeah.
So it felt that long in your head?
It felt that long. I was like, why are we not just hanging up? Because it felt that long in my head. And I still, I'll never forget 58 seconds because it was not even a minute. It was so close to being a minute.
Yeah.
We spoke for 58 seconds and it was the longest conversation. And that, to me, was the biggest indication that we'd reached a stage where even communicating was looking like a chore. So I thought about it for another day and then I called him up and I said that this was going nowhere and maybe we should reconsider all of our choices. And he was actually nice about it too. And that's another weird thing because up until that point, for 3 years, we used to fight like cats and dogs. And this breakup was the one civil thing we did. And we handled it with quite a lot of grace, I would say. Yeah, but it was definitely painful at the time. And I would argue that it would have been even more painful if we decided to hold on to each other. So, yeah. But, you know, speaking of the pain, and because we're addressing the pain of breaking up, I feel that the break we took, it gave us both some much needed time to reflect and it gave us a proper perception of what was going on. And at the same time, it made the blow a lot softer. It wasn't as if I was happily talking to him every single day and then one day, bam, without any warning, everything's over. No, we gradually just got there.
Well, I think that when you speak about taking a break, I think what you did was quite reasonable. And I think that couples need that generally, you know.
That was the first time in all that time, in 3 years, when I realized that maybe I'm an individual and I have my own individuality and I need time for myself.
Yeah. And the thing is that I agree with that, Ankita. But the thing is, in Europe, at least when I hear people taking a break, it has very different connotations and it means something completely different.
Friends break, like Ross and Rachel went on a break?
Well, it's a kind of thing where, yes, people do need some time off, some time to reflect, and respect that completely. But then there are breaks where people have where they say, look, I want to take a break, but then it ends up that a couple takes a break and then the girl is off with another guy during that break and the guy's off with another girl.
Yeah, that's not how we look at it in India.
Yeah, so that's the thing. And that's how breaks look over here. So when people say things like, I'm on a break, we're on a break, automatically your mind is like, yeah, they're probably seeing someone else now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's why when you said you were on a break and you explained it in that way, I'm like, that never happens here. Oh, at least for most of the time. I don't want to generalize. Maybe it does. I don't know. Yeah. But from what I've seen, at least, and that's something I don't agree with. Because, Ankita, if you think about it in like the big aspect of life, not everyone wants to get into serious relationships, I get that, but as a husband and wife, ultimately, which is quite likely most of us will become, if you have kids or if you have a family, you can't just say, well, I want to take a break.
Yeah, especially if you have young kids. Like, we were just talking to Tina. I don't think she can, no matter how fed up she gets, she's not going to just leave all three of her kids in her mother-in-law's care or whatever. And just, the question of a break does not exist. Even if you physically distance yourself from the situation you're constantly thinking about. No.
When people tell me they want to take a break, I'm like, why don't you just sit down and talk about it? Why do you have to label it as taking a break? You know, just sit down, talk about it. Even if it takes a month or 2 months, you sort it out. Even if it ends up in you breaking up, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be an excuse for you to say, well, you know, we're on a break, I'm just going to go off with somebody else.
Basically, this break that I took from my ex-boyfriend, right, for the first time in those 3 years, I continue to do that in my day-to-day life now. Like, if I get fed up with the work I'm doing, if I get fed up of you, I take a break from you.
Do you actually do that?
No. I mean, I do go missing. That's one of the worst qualities in me, is that I just suddenly go missing and I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
that's really annoying.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But I do that. And if I get really annoyed with Shane, I take a break from him, which doesn't mean that we don't live in the same house. I just decide that this is it. I can't deal with you anymore. Mm. And I'm not going to talk to you for some time. I'm just going to do my own thing. And that's what I did in this case as well, except that it was for the first time in my 3-year stint with him that I realized that I was an individual and I was capable of just taking some time to myself to reflect. Mm-hmm. The fact that the reflection led to the realization that we were not meant to be together is a completely different thing. Yeah.
That's just how it turned out, right?
Yeah.
That was everything.
It's not necessary that just because I decided to stay away from him and not talk to him for a week or a month or whatever, I wouldn't have gotten back together with him. It's just that it made so many things clear for me that ultimately it all just made sense to move away from him.
Yeah. And I think both of us have, well, mainly you, have spoken about what we've been through. So just to round off this episode, how would you, or what advice would you give?
I think I can start off with something that I did personally, and that was immediately after my breakup. I took it upon myself, you know, the responsibility to organize a college event for my department. And it was the first time that the English department of my college was actually doing this event. And I'm actually very proud to say that 5 years later, they're still continuing that tradition.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. So to think that my batch started it and I was one of the first people to initiate something like that, that's actually special to me. But because this was the first time, we had a lot of things to figure out. And I was so busy and so genuinely busy and tired each night that I didn't have time to dwell on this pain. And I was also, I surrounded myself with all these amazing friends, and I was staying with them in the hostel, and I had amazing friends in my college as well. So if I ever felt that I was feeling a little down, they would always constantly be there. Like, imagine living with your friends, right? And if you're feeling bad, you just go to one of them and you talk to them. And that was
yeah, it makes a difference. And I think you also, as if you are going through a time like this, it's so easy to just sit at home, but you have to force yourself to do these things. I mean, I haven't been through a breakup, but I've been through like everyone else in their life. There are tough times. There are points in your life where you feel sad.
Yeah.
And it's easy to just curl up in a ball in your bed and just cry about it. But as you said, you know, surround yourself with good people, people who will make you not just sometimes forget about stuff, distract you, but maybe it's people who can even give you good advice.
Or just listen, you know, sometimes I remember one evening, I just went to a friend and she asked me, "What, like, are you upset about the breakup?" And I just started crying. And she was there. Like, she literally did not say anything. She just sat with me.
Yeah, that's all you need.
I still love her so much for doing that. And I'm still in touch with her. Like, any day she would need me, I'd be there for her because she did this for me, right?
Yeah.
And I feel that that's one thing I did, surround myself with really good friends. And keep myself so busy that it looked like time was flying by. And that's something that really helps.
So the second point is, Ankita, that I've read on some forums that emotional pain cannot just be dealt with like conservatively, not just recreationally. It can be dealt with painkillers. But the thing is that I know that a lot of young girls who are going through breakups probably feel like they're in depression. Understandably so. I'm not looking down on anyone. Like, it's totally cool to think that.
Yeah.
But my point is that, speaking from a medical point of view, don't think that you need pills. Don't think that you need to go see a doctor and take antidepressants. None of that is going to help. It's going to help as a temporary solution. But the point of breakups and all of these points that you go through in your life, I think, is to get over it yourself as a person, to make you stronger for the next thing you're going to face in your life. And I think that's what you should really focus on as an individual, that, okay, This is quite shit, but I'm going to get over it. And when I get over it, something bigger might hit me and I'll deal with it in a better way. And that's how you should think of it. Don't think that you have to resort to medication.
But at the same time, it is true, right? That if you have painkillers like aspirin or ibuprofen, you can...
Yeah, Ankita, that's true, but I really don't want to put that message out there. I'm sorry.
I've never tried it myself, but if I have a heartbreak, I'm going to try it.
But diamonds don't break, Ankita.
Yeah. So another thing, because I've been reading up and listening to other podcasts as well, I would point you to YOY, which is a podcast you will be able to find. And another one is the Happiness Project by Gretchen Rubin, where she does, along with her sister Elizabeth Kraft, she does an episode on breakups. She said one amazing piece of advice she gave was, try to travel as much as possible right after the breakup, preferably with friends, because it doesn't have to be like a month-long expensive vacation. Even a cheap day trip, that can count, because at the end of the day, what helps is with every kind of heartache, you know, time and distance from the situation is what helps you the most, and time always heals. So when you travel, it gives you the illusion that time is moving really fast. So if you make, for example, 4 short trips during the weekends in an entire month, it'll seem like the month just flew by.
Yeah.
Even the illusion of time flying by, that helps a lot.
So Ankita, I watched the trial of O.J. Simpson, right, on Netflix. And you know Marcia Clark, the lawyer?
Yeah.
So I think she's a great woman, and I've read a lot about her. And I'm sure most of our listeners know who I'm talking about, but she's gone through 3 divorces herself, and she's a lawyer. Marcia Clark's a lawyer. And when she was asked about the advice that she would give regarding a divorce, she said that as far as possible, you should avoid getting a lawyer involved in the proceedings, because lawyers tend to make things messier than they need to be. So now obviously we're talking to our listeners who are at a different stage in their life. Don't need to bring a lawyer in if you're 17 years old.
At a messier stage in their life called marriage.
So Marcia Clark's a lawyer herself, and she gave this advice, I don't go to lawyers because they make things a lot messier than what the reality actually is. So I thought that was quite interesting, because especially someone who might be going through a divorce right now, and probably one of the most stressful things you can go through in your life.
They say that divorce and bringing a first child home, these are 2 of the most stressful things a human being can go through in his or her adult life. So yeah, but I find it especially interesting because Marcia Clark herself is a lawyer, and for her to say don't get a lawyer involved.
A successful lawyer
who's saying don't get a lawyer involved if you're going through a divorce. And you know, because you mentioned this, I've personally seen in some divorce cases that lawyers do tend to interfere and make things really messy.
But Ankita, ultimately the lawyer wants to make money.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate goal for the lawyer. It's not to make things better between them. In fact, they want you to break, unfortunately.
Their livelihood depends on you breaking up.
Exactly, yeah. But I cannot fully imagine what kind of emotional trauma or pain a woman has to go through. And that's because, like, I've never been through it myself. And I also understand that we're talking mainly about women going through breakups, but men also go through some emotional trauma as well. And I've seen at times that my classmates or anyone I know has shown up to work the next day with a head held high. And I have a lot of respect for that, Ankita. I feel that, you know, women, even men, anybody who's had a breakup or something so traumatic happen to them, to show up the next day to work with your head held high and get on with your life, I have a lot of respect.
Totally, totally. It's like a chunk of your life is getting snatched away from you. And if you still show up the next day to do what you're there to do, if you can hold yourself, pull yourself together and go through that experience, then I have a lot of respect for people who do that too. And it most definitely is one of the most painful experiences we humans have to go through. And the sad thing is that it's quite inevitable for many of us. I truly hope and pray that you never have to. Like, I hope that you're one of those people who, you know, grows old and says, I never had to go through a breakup in my life, because that would be so interesting.
We'll see that in episode 300 of The Desi Outsiders.
Yeah, we'll see that.
Stay tuned.
It's not always that you find a couple that started dating in high school and just stuck it out, you know. Shit happens.
So for any of you who are going through a breakup right now, we want to send you as many virtual hugs as we can. We hope this episode has helped you even just gain a little bit of perspective, maybe. And maybe through Ankita's stories and my half story of breakup or whatever I could give you.
Your embarrassing story and my story. I don't know what those first two relationships were to me.
But please share your stories and tips too for our listeners. And just like our listener sent us this question and we made an episode out of it, please send us your questions, because I feel like there are many, many questions out there, and we feel we can not just help you, but also give you some perspective and some of our own ideas, which might bring some value.
Or at the very least, we can share our stories with you, which might be funny for some of
you. It might be quite comical.
Yeah.
Especially like Ankita's. But you can send them to mail@desioutsiders.com. or as a direct message on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, where you'll find us at The Desi Outsiders.
And please don't forget to subscribe to our show. Please do us a favor and tell at least one friend about us before you go to bed tonight. Also, please, please, please rate and review us on iTunes. Other listeners will surely appreciate your feedback. So until next week, I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And we are The Desi Outsiders.